We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. It's living. It's active. It's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says. We need to believe what it says. Our scripture lesson this morning comes out of Galatians, the very last chapter of Galatians, chapter 6. And of course, if you know a little bit about Paul's letter to the Galatians, you know it has lots of great passages in it. A lot about being set free by the gospel, by the truth of God. And there was a big debate that went on within the church through Paul and the people of Galatia and the Jewish community about whether you needed to become a Jew before you could be a Christian or practice all the Jewish customs and rituals, such as circumcision, or whether Christ alone was access to the throne of God. And Paul argued for the latter, and he argued that in Acts when he went to the council in Jerusalem, and that truth prevailed. So the Galatians letter has lots of extra meaning behind it when you read it about being set free. The scripture portion that we're reading this morning follows the passage in chapter 5, the last parts of chapter 5, where Paul talks about walking in the Spirit and receiving the fruit of the Spirit. And he lists out all those fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, you know, those fruit. And then he goes into number 6 with a lot of, chapter 6, with a lot of more particulars, more practical ways to walk in the Spirit, to live the life that God has called us to live. And so as I read these, they're kind of disjointed, and you know, you figure, how do they flow? And I want to put them together this morning in one way, not the only way, certainly, but in a way that I think speaks to a need that we all have. And you've seen some of these practical tips, if you would, pieces of instruction that Paul gives us. So hear God's word as it comes to us from Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. Each one should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open this word to our hearts to understand. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to apply the little different sayings, little different sentences and phrases that come to us. But, Lord, by the grace of your Holy Spirit, you can put them together in our life. And each of us have need. We have need as we strive to walk according to your way. Walk in your Spirit, Lord, to be followers, true followers of you. And Lord, these are little guide marks, little instructions, little teachings that can show us the pitfalls along the way and can help us to find wholeness in our journey. So Lord, open our minds, indeed open our hearts to receive your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of what I'm speaking about this morning is Sometimes We Have to Wait And so kind of put that in the thought of where, of how I'm trying to shape these teachings of Paul. And you've probably seen the plaque that says, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." And right now. And a lot of us tend to think that way, and we're not all that patient, especially some of us are more type A types. We're not very patient. I've learned patience a little bit, but I still like it now. I want it now, and no better time than the present. That's not a bad thought. If it's worth having, it's worth doing. How much have we said that? Sure, we say that. Get it done now. If it's worth doing, do it now. Why wait? Why wait? I can make a case for that, can't you? Surely we can. But to be honest with you, that's not all bad, but it's not all good either. Especially in those areas of our life that are under our control. That may sound backwards, but that's true. Those areas that are under our control are where we get in trouble. We put things off. We put things off. And if it's worth doing, it is worth doing now on those things that we can control. For example, why put off repentance? Why put off repentance for another day? Now, repentance is something that each of us controls, right? We either do it or we don't do it. God doesn't make us repent. He may convict us. But the act of repentance is something that you do out of your own volition. If it's worth doing, that's worth doing now. Or why put off obedience? Another one of those areas that we control. We either obey or we don't obey. God doesn't make us obey. He calls us to obey. Now, He calls strongly for us to obey. But He doesn't force us to obey. We choose to obey. If it's worth doing, that's worth doing now, right? Or why put off loving your spouse or spending time with your family? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing now. Now, these are all things within our control. And we can begin doing them today. Should have been doing them all along. If there's nothing stopping us. So when it comes down to it, this is the easiest part. The part that we cannot control. The part that we cannot control. The part that falls into the other category of those things that we can choose to do is where we have the biggest difficulty. That would be in the results that we experience. The payoff, if you would. The harvest. In other words, I am obedient, or I repent, or I am loving, then, and we wait. And we wait. Because we have no control over the then. The results. The results. The harvest. The payoff. It's true that we are able to indirectly influence our results, but we cannot control the timing of that final payoff. It happens when it happens, right? And this can be difficult. Can be discouraging. Especially for those of us with the mantra, I want what I want when I want it. Right? I talk a lot about the abundant life. We all do. We think about that abundant life that Jesus promised that we're to have. We're to have it right now. It's not we're going to have it. We should have it right now. That was His promise. I've experienced enough of that abundant life to know that it's as real as it can be. I've experienced enough answered prayer to know that prayer works. How about you? I've seen enough promises fulfilled in my life that I know that the promises of God are true. And yet I go through seasons of my life when nothing seems to happen. Have you been there? When prayers don't seem to be answered? When blessings don't seem to come my way? I go through seasons of life when I ask, even as Jesus asked at one point, "How long, O Lord? How long, how much longer do I have to wait? When is something going to happen? When is the payday? When is the harvest?" The truth is that every follower of Christ experiences these seasons of waiting. We all do. These seasons of not now, not yet. When you do, you can't help but ask yourself, why isn't this thing happening? Why is this season so dry? And it could be a physical illness. It could be any number of things. It could be a relationship that's struggling. It could be a job that you just can't seem to get a grip on. It could be anything. Over the years, I've learned that there are probable answers to this question, and some that come to mind readily, and some of them that I found right here in this lesson from Paul. When I find myself in the midst of a drought, when I look up and there aren't any clouds in the sky and anything to indicate that rain is on the way, that help is on the horizon, I revisit these reasons a little bit and I ask God to reveal His wisdom to me. Three practical reasons that Paul taught us in this text this morning as we strive to walk in His Spirit. And the first one, and it's a biggie, the first one is their sin to be dealt with. Maybe I should put that another way. There is sin to be dealt with. I want to make it clear, until you cross into the Jordan and enter those pearly gates, there's always going to be sin to deal with, right? We are sinful creatures, and we will always be that way until that day. Sin is always going to be there. It's always going to be that nuisance in our life. It's always going to be something we have to deal with. It's going to be bugging us and pushing at us. It will pick at you. It will cause you to stumble. It will make you fall sometimes. It's inevitable. It's an unending part of our life, our existence in this journey between earth and heaven. That's why we can never be saved by our own goodness. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why Paul said, "For it is by grace you have been saved," in his letter to the Ephesians. Through faith, not of yourselves. You can't do that. It's a gift of God, Paul says, not by works, so that no man, none of us, can boast. We live by the grace of God. John reminds us in his gospel, in his letter, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin will always be around. It will always be there. There can come a time when we cross the line and we come a bit too chummy with sin. Interesting word, chummy. You can just sort of define it for yourself. That chumminess can get in the way of God's blessing in your life. You know, when sin isn't quite so bad, or when we start to grade it on a scale of 1 to 10, chummy. I'm not saying that every time you slip a step, God's going to pull away from you or you know, banish you from the kingdom. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about the same thing that I heard a fellow say one time. He said, there's a difference between lapsing into sin and loathing it. A difference between lapsing into sin and loathing it and leaping into sin and loving it. It's the leaping and loving and the lingering that prevent God from doing His will and His work in our life. That abundance we're talking about. That healing we seek. That relationship that needs repair. Whatever it be. In verse 7 of Paul's lesson this morning, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature, will reap destruction." The bottom line is this: if you let sin run rampant in your life, it's going to prevent you from experiencing God's life for you, God's blessing for you. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about the sins that are rated R, or the sins that might land you in jail. I'm talking about the sins that we call respectable sins, often. The kind we just sort of say, well, everybody does that, and it's just part of life. You know, pride, arrogance, selfishness, self-righteousness, gossip, ingratitude, greed, bitterness, anger, condescension, respectable sins. And these are sins that most of us kind of think we can get away with. Now, we're not egregious in any of those areas. We know we can't do that. We just sort of dibble and dabble here and there and gloss over and run through them. We think we can get away with it because, well, everybody does it, right? We classify these sins as small sins, and we think that God's going to ignore those. He's going to look the other way because He just knows how fallible and feeble and we are. But these are the most dangerous sins of all. When pride takes over your life, there's no room for God's blessing because you think it's that you owe it all to you. When selfishness takes over your life, there's no room for God's blessings because you want everything for yourself. You starts to rule everything. When anger takes over your life, there's no room for God's blessings because you think you are right. Your demands are the only demands. And these attitudes, they cut off the blessings of God from your life. Daily, we need to ask God's Holy Spirit to reveal those things in our life that need to be changed. You know, the purpose of the Christian life is not just to be blessed by God. God wants us to be blessed, no doubt about it. God wants us to be whole. God wants us to be well. God wants us to be happy. There's no question about that. But you know what God wants more than any of that? God wants you and me to be like Jesus. He wants us to be conformed into His image. He wants us to be holy. And why would He want us to be holy? Because we're never going to grace those pearly gates until we are. Until we are. And the only way we will ever be is by the blood of Jesus on that cross, spread over the doorposts of our heart through faith and belief. That's how you get there. And God wants that. That end game is the biggest thing God wants. In the meantime, yes, blessing. But in the meantime, sometimes we're going to have to wait. If it isn't happening right now, take a look at yourself. Take a look around and listen to what the Holy Spirit might be saying. You know, is there sin in the camp? Is there something that you know that you shouldn't be doing that you're still doing? Is there something that we as a body are doing that we shouldn't be doing? We need to change. We need to confess that. We need to forsake it. We need to get it away. We need to give it back to Jesus. Don't linger in it. Take it to the cross. Ask God to forgive. My book says He forgives them all every time you ask. Every time. Let Him cleanse you and empower you to live a faithful and holy life. That's a key. That is a key. If sin is an obstacle between you and God's blessings, He will help you get it out of your life. But sometimes our delay, our waiting, isn't about sin. Maybe we got accounts pretty good with God. We've been confessing. We've been living pretty well. We've tried to live good and godly lives, you know, best we can. And yet the drought continues. You keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and still you can't seem to get well. And still you can't seem to get ahead of things. They just keep crashing in. The harvest doesn't seem to be coming. Well, that's just another, it brings me to another area that I want you to see that Paul addressed. And that would be that there's maybe some preparation that needs to be completed. In other words, God's doing something in your life. Maybe He's teaching something in your life. Sometimes we're not experiencing the harvest of blessing in our life right now because we're not quite ready. That's in God's timing, not ours. Not quite ready. We still got some growing to do. You know, Nehemiah is a great story in the Bible. Nehemiah, a Babylonian slave, got the idea, I'm sure God impressed upon him that idea, of doing something very crazy and impossible. He was going to go back to Jerusalem from Babylon, go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls around the city. You know the first thing he had to do? He had to wait for 6 months. 6 months. I mean, he's got this burning desire. He's finally committed to go, and he has to wait for 6 months before he even had the opportunity to ask the king's permission to go back. Why did he have to wait? Because for 6 months, God was getting Nehemiah ready. Ready for the task which He had called him to do. Nehemiah needed time to pray. Nehemiah needed some time to think about what was ahead of him. He needed some time maybe even to strategize a little bit of, what's the first thing I'm going to do? How am I going to go about this? He needed time to prepare his heart, his soul for the challenges that were ahead of him. And they were great and they were many. When he was ready, the door opened and the king asked him, "What do you want?" And Nehemiah was prepared with an answer. We serve a good God. We serve a great God. He knows our limits. He knows what we can do individually and as a church. He knows when we're ready and when we're not. And He graciously waits until the time is right before He fills our plate. So how do we get ready? What is my role in that process? What is our role? Well, we see that a little bit in Matthew 25. And Jesus was saying to the master in the parable, was saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What does he say? Remember that? "You have been faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things." Or even in today's text, in verse 4, each one should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Interesting phrase, hard to understand a bit. But Paul's saying that we need to make sure we're doing our part. We have responsibility. And we need to make sure that we're doing our part faithfully and consistently. Not sloughing off on our neighbor or someone else. We tend to just expect somebody else to take care of it. And if God's placed it on your heart that it needs to be done, guess who He's talking to? You know, I just wish He wouldn't talk so loud sometimes, don't you? But that's exactly what Paul's teaching. We may not be receiving the harvest and the blessing because we're still putting it off. You know, right now, it may seem that payday is a long ways off. You may be in the midst of a deep, deep storm and you're not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel, so to say. God is preparing you for the coming harvest. Your part in the preparation is to just be faithful. that hang in there kind of concept. But not just hang in there, not just endure, but endure faithfully. Endure by praying, continuing to pray, by being in His Word, by seeking His comfort and His presence. Be faithful, as Jesus said in the parable in Matthew 25, in the little things, to do what you're supposed to be doing and doing them consistently, consistently. Well, there's a third reason why it might not be happening for you right now, and that's also in these teachings from Paul, and it's that it's there's God's timing to consider. You know, Barbara and I lived in the Sand Hills of North Carolina for a number of years, and they raise a lot of peaches down there, lots and lots of peaches. And if you live there and you wanted a harvest of peaches, you had to do it in the summer. You had to do it in the summer. You can't harvest peaches in March. That shouldn't surprise anybody, should it? You can't harvest peaches in March, no matter how much you want it. It's not going to happen. You can pray, you can shout, you can shake, you can hold your breath, you can stomp your feet, you can do whatever you want to do, but you're not going to harvest peaches in March. Not going to happen. You're going to harvest peaches in the summer. Why? Why? Because that's God's timing. That's God's timing. And that's sometimes difficult for us to accept, especially those of us who want it now. Because we want what we want when we want it, right? We think we know what is best. And we think that we know when is best. We say, God, I'm living in obedience. I'm fully prepared. What's the holdup? What's the holdup? I want it now. I'm claiming it now. It should be now. God says, not now. And if you hear Him carefully, He's also saying, trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. And Paul says in verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Key phrases right there. At the proper time, right? I think the ESV says in due season, you know. But at the proper time, and then that second phrase, if we do not give up. If we do not give up. We got to trust God. We got to stay with God. That's what it comes down to, really, is trusting God. Why do we give up? Not because we think that God is faithful and payday's right around the corner. Oh, no, we wouldn't give up then. We give up because we think, what's the use? We give up because we think there is no answer. There is no payday. That I'll never get rid of this sickness, or I'll never get better, I'll never feel stronger, or I'll never understand this, or I'll never have this relationship that I need. Ultimately, we just let it go. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us more than we know, really. But remember, His ultimate blessing and His ultimate purpose for our life is not to give us things, not to make us happy, but to make us like Jesus. To make us like Jesus. That's the direction He's always taking us. The blessings we receive are icing on the cake. They're just benefits along the way. I can't tell you how many times I've asked God, why not now? But I can say, after following Him for a bunch of years, I've learned that His timing is always better than mine. He is always, always right on time. Sometimes we need to wait. Don't like that particularly. But sometimes we need to wait. We need to wait for the harvest of blessing to come in. We need to wait for the answer to our prayers, for the understanding that we need to what's going on in our life or in our church. And there are reasons that we need to wait. And sometimes it's because there's sin that needs to be dealt with. Sometimes it's simply because we're not quite ready yet, in God's eyes, not ours. How many times have we said, oh, go, and we go like gangbusters and we crash right over the hill? Wait. Wait. Preparation needs to be made. Sometimes it's simply a matter of God's timing. Simply a matter of God's time. Sometimes we need to wait. But let me add one little thing. There's one thing that we'll never have to wait for. And that is the assurance that wherever we are in the process, whatever's happening to us, whatever part of the journey we're on, God is always with us. Every hour, every day, every step of the way. I sometimes think if I could realize that, I mean, truly, really, really realize that, then I wouldn't be asking so many dumb questions like why. I would just be going and doing. If there are things in our life that we need to surrender Him, He's waiting for it. He's waiting for us to draw near. If there's lessons to be learned, a season of preparation yet to finish, He's going to guide us. He's right there with us, guiding us all the way through this. This is all God. Even while you wait for His perfect timing, we're not alone. He's right there, and He understands. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always, He said, even to the end of the age. That good news we don't have to wait for. Let's pray together.